The Torah says that God created Adam and Chava, and for some reason Chava doesn't get a name until after the sin. So we discussed that it was predetermined that they would sin. That was part of a godly plan. And so they did. So what's the claim against Chava? So we have a rule, Megargirin Schut Al Yedei Zakai, Megargirin Chova Al Yedei Chayav. There are things that are predetermined, but God says, you don't have to be the cause for it to happen. I decree that someone will come destroy the temple, God says. Someone had to come destroy the temple. I didn't say it should be Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll do it. So God gives potential for good things to happen, and God gives potential for bad things to happen. And a person has a choice whether he'll merit to be a messenger for good things to come to the world, or, God forbid, the contrary. So the Nachash chooses to bring bad things to the world, and unfortunately so does the woman, and so does Adam Arishon. Now, Adam is given the name Adam, as is Adam with his wife. Adam is the general term about mankind. The Nachash, so... Thank you. The Nachash is called the Nachash. He's the question is it the same Nachash as the Nachash we have today? We know there is a Nachash, there is a Tanin, and we have to ask ourselves, what is the meaning of the word Nachash? What is the meaning of the word Adam? What is the meaning of the word Chava? Nachash could come from the word Nichush, to try and figure out what God wants in the world. Chava could come from the word chivya, from snake. Could come from the word chaya, life. Chivya in Aramaic is snake. And Adam could come from the word adama, ground. Just like we say, a person goes to Mitzrayim, he's going Mitzrayimah to Mitzrayim. So Adam, from the moment he died, from the moment he's born, like a brother of mine once told me, he said, you know, from the minute a child's born, he's dying. That's life. Life is a procession towards death. The second God decreed that there would be death in the world, so in essence what happened is that person is always dying. So Adama is where Adam is going to. The question is this the root of the word Adam, though? Meaning, does Adama stem from Adam, or is Adam connected to Adama? And then, the Gemara says that Adam comes from Efel Dam Maim. It's an acronym. Put together Efel Dam and Maim, get Adam. And beyond that, we will see now in Pirkei Rav Eliezer. Maybe we'll have a better answer to our question. We're holding Pirkei Rav Eliezer, Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter. And Medrash has been going day by day describing creation. And now we're holding on the sixth day, Bashishi, on the sixth day, Hotzi min haaretz kol min behemot. God took out of the ground. Notice, the animals were created from the earth. All different species of animals, charim unkevot, male and female, tmim utorim, impure and pure. Uvishnei simanim emitarim. And there are two signs that make an animal pure. B'male gera, with chewing its cud, u'mafisei apalsa, and by having split hoofs. Ushlosha minei behemot nivcharu lekorban ola. And three types of animals were chosen for offerings. For example, a korban ola, a sacrifice that is all burnt before Hashem. Eluhem, these are they, shor, an ox, v'cheves, and the lamb, v'ez, and the ram. V'chol min behemat Torah shena nevela utrefa basadeh mutar b'achilato. And in general, the Medrash is telling us, not for Adam, but in general, all pure animals that are not deceased, that are not a nevela or trefa, one is permitted to eat. Chutz mishusha dvarim, except for three parts of the animal which we may not eat, even if it was shechted, if it was put to death in a kosher fashion. The three parts of the animal that we don't eat are hachelev, a certain type of fat. Chelev literally means the best portion. So these fats are considered the best fats, those fats one may not eat, fats that are called chelev, v'adam, the blood, one's not allowed to eat blood from the animal, v'gidan asheh, and that special sinu called the gidan asheh, whatever that is, shenemal, as the verse states, ki yerek esev natati lachem et kol. God says, I allow you to eat the animals just like I allow you to eat vegetables. This is in next week's parasha we will read how God gave Noah and his offspring's permission to eat from the animals. On the sixth day, on Friday, God took out of the ground, again, these animals are created from the ground, the seven pure wild animals. Ve'eluhem, these are they. Ayal, utzvi, v'yachmu, ve'akov, v'dishon, uteo, v'zamel. Seven species of wild animals that are permitted, that are edible, that Torah permits us to eat. V'chulan, shchitatan, v'achilatan, ka'of. And all of them are shechted, the way we put them to death in order to eat them is with shchita, and they're eaten just like the bird is put to death with shchita and is eaten. And what does a chaya have in common with an ov? That when one shechts a chaya and an ov, so one has to cover the blood. We have mitzvah of kisei adam. Kol chayot shebasadeh kulan tmot. All other wild animals in the field are impure. One may not eat them. On the sixth day, on Friday, God took out of the ground. God created all the creepy, crawly creatures, all different kinds of bugs, and they are all considered impure. One may not eat them. And all these beings that were created from the ground, their soul and their body comes from the ground. The Medrash is coming to stress this point in contradistinction with man, where we say his neshama was taken from heaven, even though his body was created from the earth. These animals, their neshama, however it means, their nefesh, comes from the ground as well. And when they die, they return to the place where they were created. As the verse states, Tosef Ruham, God, you collect their spirit, yigvaun, they die. What's the continuation of the pasuk? Ve'elafaran yeshuvun, they return to their ground, to their dust. So the Medrash understands that their nefesh also goes back to dust. Another verse says in Kohelet and Ecclesiastes, v'ruach ha'beimah yoredeti lemata la'aretz, the spirit, the life of the animal, goes back down into the ground. V'ashishi, on Friday, on the sixth day, hotzi min aretz beimah shu ravutz ba'arei alef, God took out a special animal that stays, it's contained with 1,000 mountains. This creature consumes 1,000 mountains every day. And every night these mountains grow of their own accord, they grow back. It's as though he never consumed them. And the waters of the Jordan, they give this creature to drink. So vevinet kol eretz Yisrael, the waters of the Jordan encompass the land of Israel. Chetzian lemata min haaretz, half of them encompass the land of Israel above ground. Vechetzian lemata min haaretz, and half of it encompasses the land of Israel underground. Shneemar yiftach ki yagiach Yarden et piyu. Ve'u muchan lisuda gdola shel tzadikim, and this creature is prepared for the great feast for tzadikim. Shneemar ha'oso yagesh charbo. So we have all of this creation happening on the sixth day, and right away God tells the Torah, "Naaseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu." We will make man in our fashion like us. So, who is our fashion? This Medrash seems to say it is God and the Torah. We discussed that it is God and the Malachim, God and the ground. Now we have a third understanding: God and the Torah. Yeshiva Torah v'amra. The Torah replied and said, "Ribon kol olamim, Master of all of the worlds." Notice what do we say? Adon Olam, God is master of the worlds. Before man was created, he was king, but he wasn't called king. So now the Torah is calling God by the same term. Ribon kol olamim. She doesn't yet call him Melech, even though God was Melech, who malach betem kol yitzir nivai, was king before everything was created. But only after we were created is he called the king. Therefore, here the Torah refers to Hashem as master of the world. Ha'olam shelach, the world is yours. Ha'adam zeh she'atah rotzeh livroto, this man that you want to create, hu k'tzar yamim, he lives a short life. Here we see that man was supposed to die even before he ate from the Eitz Hadas. And that's what we discussed, that one of the pshatim say that God said, if you eat from the Eitz Hadas, you'll die an early death. God was God had created man predestined to die. Man was not supposed to live eternally. But by eating from Eitz Hadas, he sinned, and that caused him to live an even shorter life. So the Torah says, this man that you're creating, he has a short life. Usva roges, he is satiated with anger. Ve'avodi dechet, he'll come to sin. If you don't extend your anger with him, if you don't have patience with him, he's fitting for man not to come to the world. Amala Kadosh Baruch Hu, so God said to the Torah, for nothing am I called one who is slow to anger and has a lot of kindness. So God says, of course I'll have compassion, I'll have mercy on men. So the Torah says, no point in creating men if you're not going to have mercy. And God says, for sure I'll have mercy. God started gathering the earth of first man. From the four corners of the land. Adom, red earth. Shachol, black earth. Lavan, white earth. Yarok, green earth. Adom ze Adam. The red earth is what the blood is made of. Shachol, the black earth. Elu hakravaim. These are the innards. Lavan, elu atzmot vegidin. The white earth is what the bones and the sinews were made of. Yarok ze aguf. The green earth is what the body was made of. Why did God make man from earth, from four corners of the world? God said, if man comes from the eastern part of the world to the western part of the world, or from the west to the east, or any place that he goes, and his time comes to pass on from the world, so he'll die, he comes from the east, and he dies in the west. So God says, I don't want a situation, the land should not say, in that place, your body, the earth you were made of, is not from me. I don't accept you. I don't let you rot in my territory. So God wanted man to be able to rot. So God made him from the earth from all different corners. For those of you who have lost the place, we're holding on the top of page Lamed Hei. To the left side of the page, 5-6 lines down, 7 lines down. Ela lelamedcha, to teach you, but rather to teach you, shekol makom sheilech adam uvak itzoli pitam naolam, any place man goes and comes his time to pass from the world, mishamu afar gufo, so we say, the earth that his body was made of comes from there as well. Unushamu chozer, and that's where he'll return. And that earth where he's buried raises its voice. You are dust, you will return to dust. The day man was created was 12 hours long. The first hour, God gathered the earth from which man was fashioned. The second hour, he mixed the earth, he made it, mixed it with water, it seems. The third hour, he set it up. Fashioned it. Revit zarak ban neshama, the fourth hour God threw in a neshama. Chamishit, the fifth hour, hamido al raglav, God stood man up. Shishit, the sixth hour, karashemot, man was already living, talking. He gives names to all the different creatures. Shviit, the seventh hour, nizdavgalo chava, chava was mated with him. Shminit, nitzdavu al haperot, the eighth hour, they were commanded of the fruits, regarding the fruits of the tree, not to eat from the eitz hadas. Shi'it, the ninth hour, alula mitash naim, they went to bed two, v'yaldu arba'a, they got off the bed, there were already four, and there was no curse yet, so they were able to bear fruits the same time that they were together. Asirit, the tenth hour, hechniso legan Eden, brought Adam into Gan Eden. Seems from this medrash, like Cain and Hevel were around when Adam sinned in Gan Eden. The Torah doesn't seem to present it that way. Only after the sin does the Torah tell us that Cain and Hevel were born. But this Medrash is saying that Cain and Hevel were born even before they were entered into Gan Eden. Only after they were born were all four entered into Gan Eden, it seems.
Cain and Hevel created mature.
There are Midrashim that indicate that Cain and Hevel were born mature. The Medrash says that Hevel lived 50 days. 50 or 51 days. That was his whole life. So obviously he was created mature. Asirit, the tenth hour, hechnisol Gan Eden v'aval tzivuyo. He brought him into Gan Eden and Adam transgressed. Achatesle, the 11th hour, nidon, he was judged. Shtemesle, the 12th hour, nitgaresh, he was chased out of Gan Eden. Shneimar v'aygar shet Adam, as the verse states, God chased Adam out of Gan Eden. V'gibel tafrosh l'dam harishon, uv'imkom tahor haya. God fashioned the earth. God mixed the earth that was going to form Adam. It was a pure place. But the Bu'aretzea was the, so to speak, the navel of the earth, the center of the earth. V'rikmo, God fashioned him, v'tikno, he set him up, v'ruach unshama lo haitabo. God set up this clay human, and there was no soul in him. Me'asah kadosh baruch hu, what did God do? Nafach bo b'ruach nishmat pi, v'zarak bo neshama. God blew into him, he threw in a neshama, sh'ne'emar v'yipach v'yipav nishmat chayim, as the verse states, God blew into his nostrils a neshama of life. V'amad adam al raklav, man stood on his feet. V'yam istakel klapim ala umata. You have first man, he looks up, he looks down. His height was from one end of the world to the other. Now, as the verse says, Achor v'kedem tzartani. You created me back and front. Achor back zemarav means all the way to the west of the world. V'kedem front zemizrach, that's all the way to the east of the world. V'rat kol ha'briyot shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all the creatures that God created. Hitchil mefer b'shem boro. He started praising Hashem. V'amar marabu ma'asech Hashem. How great are the, your creations, God. First thing man does when he's created is praise Hashem. Amad al ragdab, he stood on his feet. V'ayam etoar b'dmut elokim, he looked like a godly creature. Ra'u toar b'riot, all of the creation saw him and nityaru, and they got scared. Kisvurin shu boran, they thought, ooh, that's our creator. They saw Adam, they saw this unusual, huge creature, they thought that is our creator. Uvau kulam nishtachavot lo, all the creatures came to bow to Adam. Amalehem, so Adam said to them, batem nishtachavot li, you came to bow to me, bo, come with me, ani v'atem, I and you, nelech min albish geut va'oz v'namlich aleinu mishabra'anu. We will go, we will, so to speak, dress our king with glory, with might, we will accept God as king over all of us. Lefisha amam nechim tamelech, for the nation has to give kingship to the king. The king doesn't take, give kingship to himself. If the nation doesn't give it to him. Adam went first and he said he accepts God as his king over him. And all of the creatures went after him. And Adam said, Hashem malach, God ruled over the world. He wears pride. There were 10 kings that ruled over the world from one end to the other. The first king is Hashem. Shum olech b'shemayim v'aretz. He rules over the heavens and the earth. V'alav machshavto l'akim lachim el aretz. And God taught to create kings on earth. Shneimar. V'umashnei idanaya. Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, how God changes different times, different periods. V'zimnaya. Me'adei melachim. God himself removes kings. U'me'akei melachim. God appoints kings. So Daniel reveals to us that God appoints kings. God wanted this concept to be on earth, that there would be kings, and God allows kings to exist. As we make a blessing, we say that God gives from his honor to kings, he allows the appointment of kings. Amelech HaShini, the second king that ruled over the whole world, Zenimrod, that's Nimrod, mentioned, we'll see him later on, Shemashan Misof HaOlam Ad Sofo, he ruled from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Shayu Kol HaBriyot Yirim Mimei HaMabul. Everywhere, all the creatures were scared of the waters of the deluge, the flood, the Mabul. V'nimrod ya aleihem melech. Nimrod was king over everyone. We'll see that in next week's parasha. Shne'emar, v'tir reshit me'amlechto bavel, etc. Hamelech ha'shishi, the third king that ruled over the whole world, is Yosef. Yosef ruled over the whole world. Shemashal misof olam atzofo. He ruled from one end of the world to the other. Shne'emar, as the verse states, the chol ha'aretz ba'u Mitzrayim. All of the land came to Mitzrayim because Egypt was the only place where they had food during the period of the famine, and as such, Egypt became ruler of the world, and Yosef ruled over the world. Aretz en k'tiv kan, ela v'chol aretz, all of the land came to Egypt. V'ayum v'in tamas shelehem u'minchad ishbo'od Yosef. They'd all bring their taxes and gifts to Yosef in order to do business with him, to get food. Shabbaim shana haya mishne l'melech Mitzrayim. For 40 years, Yosef was the vice president under the king of Egypt. V'albaim shana malach b'atzmon. For 40 years, Yosef was king alone in Egypt. Sh'ne'emar, the verse states, v'yakom melech hadash ha'mitzrayim. There was a new king in Egypt. He didn't know Yosef, who was a previous king who had ruled individually over Egypt. Melech Arvi zeh Shlomo, the fourth king that ruled over the whole world, is Shlomo shemenach misof haolam atzofo. Shlomo ruled over the whole world from one end to the other. Shne'emar Shlomo haya mosher b'chol ha'mlechot. V'heim amvin, as the verse states, Shlomo ruled over all of the kingdoms. V'heim amvin ish minchato, and they'd each bring their gift, kli chesef, kli zahav, silver vessels, gold vessels, uslamot, garments, v'neshek, uv'samim, susim, ufradim, dvar shana v'shana. Every year they'd bring all these gifts. Melech HaChamishi, the fifth king that ruled over the whole world, Zachav Melech Yisrael. This is Zachav, the king of Israel. Shneimar, Hashem Lokechem Yeshgoyim Amlecha. One of his servants, when he meets up with Elio, he says, you should know, my master has been searching for you, Elio. Achav has been searching for you, and he sent word to every kingdom in the world, and he made them promise that you're not there, that you're not hiding in their kingdom. So we see that Achav ruled over the world. He could make them promise. Well, what do they owe him? No, they did owe him. From here we see that they all were subservient to Achav. He could make them promise that Elio is not in their territory. All the different masters were under Achav. They'd all bring their taxes and their gifts to Achav. There were 232 cities or countries in the world at the time. Achashverosh malach b'chetzio shel olam. He ruled over half the world. 116 countries. Uvizchut Esther, and in the merit of Esther, nitosfulo 11 medinot. He gained another 11 countries. Shnemar, Achashverosh amlech mehod v'ad kush v'gomer. Hamelech HaShishi, the sixth king that ruled over the whole world, zen Nebuchadnezzar. Shnemar, that's Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian king who destroyed the temple. Uvchol didarim ne'anasha, as Daniel states, that Nebuchadnezzar was given a kingdom that ruled over any place that was inhabited. Velo od, not only that, ela ba'ofot mashal, Nebuchadnezzar ruled over the birds. Shafilu of la yachol liftach piv, chutz merashuto. He had godly powers that even a bird wouldn't chirp without Nebuchadnezzar's permission. He ruled over the whole world. Shnemav lo ayan odet kanaf ufotze peh umtzavtze. Melech HaShvi, the seventh king, ze Koresh Melech Paras. That's Koresh, the king of Persia. Shnemav ko amar Koresh Melech Paras, kol ma'amachot ha'aretz. Koresh attests to the fact that God gave him all the kingdoms of the land. Melech Hashmini Alexander Mufdon, the eighth king is Alexander of Macedon. Shemashar Misof Olam Atzofoy ruled over the whole world. Shneimav Ani Hayti Mevin Veinei Tzvi Raizin Bamen Amarav, etc. Apnei Arz Ein Ktiv Kan Ela Apnei Chol Aretz. Ledam Ma B'Chetzot Aretz Lo Od. Not only that, Elach Sheratzal Lot LaShemayim Ledam Ma Shebashemayim. Alexander wasn't satiated with knowing what's going on throughout the land. He was king over the whole world. He wanted to conquer the heavens. He wanted to go to the depths, and to know what's in the depths as well. Alexander wanted to rule over everything. He didn't succeed, but he wanted to. He ruled over the world, but he wanted to rule over the heavens and the depths. Okay. And he divided his kingdom into the four different directions of the heavens. Melech HaTshi, the ninth king that will rule from the end of the world to the end of the world, Zemelech HaMashiach, that's the Messiah, Shuatid Limloch Misof Olam HaTzofo, he will rule from the end of the world to the end of the world. Shneimar, Ve'avna Dimchat B'Tzalma, V'Tetura V'Umnat Kol Ara. As Daniel explains Nebuchadnezzar's dream, that ultimately a stone will come, which is the Messiah, and it will become a great mountain that will fill the land, and that is, that definition of the dream means that the Messiah will rule over the whole world. Hamelech Asiri, the tenth king, Chozer Tamlucha Levaleah. The kingship goes back to its original master, Mishaya Melech HaRishon, whoever was the first king, Hu HaMelech HaAchron, he's going to be the last king. Shneimar, as God states in Isaiah, Ani Rishon Vani Acharon, I am the first, I am the last, Umidmaladayin Elohim, and other than me there is no power. Uchtiv Haya Hashem LeMelech HaKol Haaretz, and the verse states in Zechariah, God will be king over all of the land. V'Tachzor HaMlucha LeYoshea, and the kingdom will go back to its inheritors. And in that period, the idols will pass from the world. God will be left alone in the world in that time. He will shepherd his sheep, and he will give them to eat. He will take them out to pastures. I will shepherd my sheep. I will take them out to graze. And we will see God eye to eye, as the verse states. Eye to eye they will see. B'shuv Hashem Tzion, Amen. When God returns the Jews to Zion, so may it be. So what we see in this Medrash? We saw in this 11th chapter, we noticed that the Medrash goes on tangents. That's one of the interesting things in Pirkei Rav Lezer, that it goes on tangents. And the Medrash began the sixth day, how God created the animals and all the wild animals and the creepy crawly creatures from the earth, and that when they die, their spirit goes back into the earth. And man was created from the earth of the four different east, west, north, south. God gathered the different color earth to create the different parts of man, so that wherever man dies, the earth accepts him and he rots there. The Medrash continued with describing the 12 hours of the first day, how man was created, had his two children, sinned, was kicked out of Gan Eden, And then the Medrash described that the earth used to create man was the holiest earth. And when Adam was created, he stood up and praised Hashem and told the animals, "I am not your God, let's praise Hashem together." And at that period, God was king. Adam accepted God as his king. God was king over the whole world. And then the Medrash went on to describe that there were 10 kings, that there are ultimately 10 kings who rule the world from edge to edge. The Medrash said the first king was Hashem, the second king is Nimrod, the third king is Yosef, the fourth king is Shlomo, the fifth king is Ahav, the sixth king is Nebuchadnezzar, the seventh king is Koresh, the eighth king is Alexander of Macedon, the ninth king is going to be Mashiach, and the tenth king is ultimately going to be Hashem, that the kingdom will come back to him, just as it was in Bereshit that Adam recognized God as king of the universe, as did all the creatures, so too, after the Messiah, everyone will recognize God's kingship, and God will be king over the world. So that's what we saw in a nutshell in the 11th chapter of Pirkei Avot. Yeah.
What about Julius Caesar?
I don't know. Caesar ruled the world?
No. Did Alexander the Great rule?
Yes, in this point, with Alexander, he had really the only power, and he didn't have like the consuls in the provinces as Caesar had. So Caesar didn't have the total power in every corner of his empire because he had his consuls, and then many parts he didn't decide what to do, but the consuls did decide what to do. And the big weakness of the Alexander's empire was that he had to decide everything. That was, without his decision, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. That was the big weakness. Because of that, directly after his death, everything went down like.
From the very beginning, you mentioned three times these different laws about the animals. So why is the Midrash just in so many? Do we normally do that?
Yeah, the Midrashim, so we never had a chance to really properly introduce Midrashim. One of the main points of the Midrashim is to interweave between the stories halachos. The problem is that we can't really learn halachos from the Midrash because we don't always go practically halacha according to the Midrash. But one of the main points of the Midrash is to interweave halachos, to tell us, by the way, halachos. This is one of the ways they used to give their public speeches. To keep the crowds interested, they'd say stories, and within the stories, they'd give over halachos. The Midrash mentioned right in the beginning that the animals have to be shechted, the wild animals have to have their blood covered, and that there are three types of animals that are kosher for karban, shark, kesev, and ez, an ox, lamb, and a goat, and there are three parts of the animal we don't eat, the chelev, those special fats, the dam, the blood, and the gid anoshe. That's sinu called the Gid Anasha. Right, we forgot that.
And also, the Medrash talks about Adam had anywhere in the world he goes and would be able to have his body buried there. So what's it really saying there?
So that goes into a Kabbalistic concept. There's a concept in the Mishnah and all those, Tarvad is a vessel. And we say that Melotavad, this vessel, a full vessel, Tarvad, Rekev, of the rotted body, after the body rots, the flesh rots. So we say that area of earth where the body rots, so Melotavad Rekev, a full vessel of this, of the rotted sediment, what's left of the body, that has special tumah. And it seems like that also has special spirituality, that rotted body. I think it's metame be'ohel, melotavad rekev. That amount of rekev, if I'm not mistaken. So the Radal wants to explain over here that it doesn't mean that he wouldn't be able to be buried there. The ground would yell out, "Don't bury him here." But rather, what the Medrash means is that the ground would not be able to, his rotted body would not mix with the ground. And then what would happen is that he says that for Tchias HaMeisim, you need this mixture of tarvad rekev mixed with the earth in order for the body to come back. And what the Medrash is saying, according to Radar of David Luria, is that God created man of all the different types of earth so that his body would always be able to mix with earth, so that it would always have the potential to come back to Chias Amazim. Why does the body have to mix with the earth? So this there's a concept of Se'or Be'isa, that you have a piece of dough and you need the yeast to make it rise. So too it seems like the earth and the body have to mix in order for it to afterwards give rise to the in Chias Amazim. Why is that so? I don't know. How that works, I also don't know. So I don't know if I helped you much, except for explaining to you how much I don't know. But the question is addressed. The answer I don't know much about, but I could tell you what it says, and beyond that I don't know. Yeah.
Quick question: did the rabbis wrote the midrash? Yeah. Who was the?
This midrash. No, this midrash goes back to the Tanaic period. This might be the first written oral. Part of the oral Torah after the prophets. That's what we discussed in our first class. You were there in Sukkot. This seems to be the first written oral Torah, the first part of the oral Torah that was written after the sealing of the Tanakh, that was written and published for the masses.
So the Gemara was written after the certain Midrashim?
Right, there were Midrashim, then there was Mishnah, then there was Gemara.
Oh, Gemara explains the Mishnah, right?
Right.
Okay, got it.
Anything else? No, we have to have a class on this. I'm contemplating, I have to see if I could do it. I want to add a class during the week on the history of the compilation of the Mishnah and the Talmud. No one has it clear, I don't think. I guys asked for a class, and then we might do that. I don't know yet. Anything else?
Class on vitamins.
What?
Class on vitamins.
Vitamins? Well, how can I give a class on vitamins? What do I know about vitamins?
I asked him once if anyone
had one. Vitamins?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean in general about kashrus of vitamins? I thought you meant which vitamins to take when. Okay. Class on vitamins.